Welcome, everyone, to our worship services here at the Clarksville Church of Christ. We have a good number out this morning. We have visitors. We are glad that you're here. We encourage you to join in as we continue our worship to God with the opening up of His Word and the study from it. And I would ask you personally to take a Bible, follow along with me, and make sure the things that I have to say come from the Word of God, because that is our goal here, is to give God the honor and the praise that He so richly deserves. It is because of Him that we eat, we live, and we breathe. And so we need to be thankful for this opportunity we have to once again assemble and to worship Him. In continuing with our theme of preaching this month, our yearly theme is A Church with a Mind to Work. This month we are focusing on the idea of preaching. Now, I was trying to think about how to go at this subject this week, and I was thinking about, well, sometimes we don't talk about responsibilities about preaching. We talk about what we're preaching and so forth, but I want to talk about responsibilities with regards to preaching. If you were to turn back to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, we're going to read verses 1 through 5 again. Because the first thing we want to realize about that is that there are responsibilities, obviously, for the preacher. I have responsibilities that I must be mindful of as I am preaching the gospel this morning. So let's read verses 1 through 5 once again. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up from themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. The Apostle Paul is exhorting Timothy that he's got responsibilities regarding his preaching. First of all, he has to preach what? He has to preach the word. He has to preach the word. If he doesn't preach from the gospel, from the Bible, his preaching is meaningless. But notice also the things that is said about this. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. So he's not going to just tell people the things that they want to hear. He's going to tell people the things they need to hear. And that's important because Paul gives the reasons for that. He lays it out very clearly. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. It is so important that gospel preaching is done. Why? Because we need to make sure that we are in the truth, that we are following those things that God has laid out in His Word. And if we're not, we're going to be held accountable for that. A gospel preacher has the responsibility to preach the truth. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts, the 4th chapter as well, as we continue this idea. And whenever someone is in this pulpit preaching, you make sure that they are doing that, that we are preaching the truth. You make sure that I'm preaching the truth. In Acts, the 4th chapter, verses 19 and 20, now this is after Peter had been and John had been told not to preach about Jesus anymore. They said, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now I understand that we're not apostles in the sense that Peter and John were. We did not see Jesus with our physical eyes. But through the eye of faith, we see Jesus. And we are this very same way. We cannot speak but the things we have seen and heard where? From the Bible. And so therefore, when a preacher is giving a lesson from God's word, he needs to make sure that he is telling those things only that we can find in the word of God. But continuing, the preacher also needs to make sure that he's giving the whole counsel of God. Turn with me to Acts the 20th chapter. When Paul's talking to the Ephesian elders, he says in verses 26 and 27, of Acts 20. He says, "Therefore I testify to you that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I am not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." And that's what gospel preachers have to be doing. We need to give the whole counsel of God. Once again, not just the things that people feel good about or they want to hear, but also the things that we may not want to hear. Because if we want to be pleasing to God, we need to make sure we're doing all those things that God wants us to, not just the things that may come easy to us. And Paul said to the Ephesian elders, "I have not shunned to give you the whole counsel of God." And therefore, he was innocent of the blood of all men because he did his job as a gospel preacher. And then finally, with regards to gospel preachers, in Acts 13 chapter, now, I'm not going to read all this. Some people were telling me I had a lot of verses this morning, but I'm not going to read all these verses. But if you would turn to Acts 13 chapter and verses 15 through 41. Now, Paul is given the opportunity to defend himself, to give a lesson regarding the gospel. And if you notice through that section of scripture, and I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to read all that this morning, but he goes back to the Old Testament. And he lays out his teaching from the Old Testament. He doesn't go back to his think-sos or his things that he wanted to focus on, but he goes back to the history of the children of Israel. Paul did that his entire ministry. He used the Old Testament to show how Jesus was the Messiah to come in the world, how he did die upon that cross, as we remembered just a few moments ago, and how he was raised from the dead, and that gives us all the hope of eternal life. So I want to make sure that we all understand the preacher has a big responsibility. If he's not preaching the truth, if I'm not preaching the truth, I'm not doing my job. And I need to be held accountable for that. Because God expects that his holy word be taught in its purity and its simplicity. But the remaining part of the lesson I'd like to look at is something that sometimes we don't talk about on a regular basis, and that is, what is the listener's responsibility when the gospel is preached? Now, most of us are going to be the listeners most of the time, right? Okay? We're going to be listening to the gospel being preached. So what are some things that we as listeners have to be doing? Because we don't want to be doing those things that are going to be displeasing to God. Someone said, well, you don't have on your outline about sleeping or playing games on your phone. Well, hopefully I'm not putting you to sleep this morning. If I am, I apologize. My goal here is to encourage you and build you up in the teaching of God. But we must be in attendance. You know, I know that there are legitimate reasons that people cannot be here. I know that there's illness and other things that prohibit someone from being able to be physically in attendance. But when you are in attendance, you encourage not only me as a gospel preacher, you encourage everyone here. Everybody here is an encouragement to each other. Because we are all here for what? We're all here for the same purpose, right? We are all here to worship God and to be pleasing to Him, to help encourage one another. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 24 and 25. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 24 and 25, the Hebrew writer says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Now, that's the verse that sometimes we leave out when we're talking about being in attendance at the worship service. But when we think about considering worship service a spectator sport. You know, when I watch a basketball game on TV, that's a spectator sport. I'm just watching it. I'm not participating in it. Although my wife says sometimes, by the way, I talk about the game, that I'm participating in it. Worship service isn't like that. We are to be all involved. When we sing, all of us are to sing. When we pray, we're all to be praying together. Even though one man is leading us in that prayer, we are all praying together. When we remember the Lord's Supper, we are all remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. And when preaching is done, we are all involved. That's why I encourage you. I know sometimes you may not be able to keep up with the pace of the preacher with turning to the different passages. But that's why we are so fortunate here that we have a bulletin every week. And Brother Steve is so kind to put those outlines for the lessons in that bulletin so that if you can't follow along quickly during the lesson, you can take it home, you can look at those verses, and make sure that the preacher was actually telling you what he should have. So first of all, we need to be in attendance. Secondly, turn with me to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. This is sometimes something that maybe we don't think about enough. The Hebrew writer is talking about our elders in verse 7 of chapter 13. He says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow concerning the outcome of their conduct." Now, this is talking about our elders of the local work here. We are to remember them and be submissive to them. Now, as long as they are teaching us the truth and guiding us in the way we should be, in accordance of God's word, submissive to them and honoring them. Well, if the elders have determined that we're going to assemble on Sunday morning, we're going to have another assembly on Sunday night and another assembly on Wednesday night, then where should we be if we can? We should be here. Because we're not only helping those that are teaching, whether it be a Bible class, as Brother Steve taught this morning, or me as I'm preaching the gospel this morning, but we're going to help each other. We cannot get to heaven by ourselves. Now, we're going to be judged on our works individually, but we need each other. Attendance is so important. And when we think about preaching, if we're not there, how are we going to encourage one another? I know that there's different ways that we can look up verses nowadays with the electronic devices. But I tell you, nothing is more pleasing to someone giving the sermon than to hear those pages turn. Because I know that you're engaged. I know that you're listening. And eye contact. Now, sometimes I don't make eye contact with each one of you individually. But there is nothing more pleasant than to see people looking at you and they go, and hopefully they're not doing this. But I know that you're engaged. I know that you're paying attention. Sometimes we don't think about the importance of that for the gospel preacher. You say, well, the preacher was off his game this morning. Well, what were we doing to encourage him, right? You encourage me by being here. That's one of the first responsibilities as a listener. But secondly, listeners must be ready to hear. You know, it's not just enough to be here. We have to want to listen to the word of God being proclaimed. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts the 10th chapter. I apologize, Steve, I gave you the wrong verse there. It's Acts the 10th chapter. And Steve's kind enough to do my PowerPoint for me, and I truly appreciate that. But in Acts the 10th chapter, we have this man, Cornelius. In the first few verses of Acts 10, we find that Cornelius was a very good man. Matter of fact, let's read verses 4 through 6. I didn't have that on there, but verses 4 through 6. Cornelius has this vision, and it says, "And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, 'What is it, Lord?' So he said to him, 'Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do.'" Okay? So he's told, you need to send for Peter because he's going to tell you some important things. Okay? Now let's turn, if you would, over to the 30th verse of the same chapter. Peter has come after he's seen the vision and realizes that God is not a respecter of persons anymore. Verse 30, it says, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour," that being Cornelius, "and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore," notice what he says, "we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." Cornelius needed to hear the gospel. He was a very good man, but he needed to hear more. And Cornelius was ready, not only himself, but his whole household, to hear the gospel preached. And of course, we see in the remaining verses of that chapter that the gospel had its effect on good and honest hearts, and they obeyed the gospel, him and his household. Go to Acts the 8th chapter, verses 30 through 38. We see another individual that we've studied before, I know, the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, we remember that the Ethiopian eunuch was traveling back from Jerusalem, and he was in his chariot, and the Spirit tells Philip to go and go overtake the chariot. So he runs to him, and in verse 30, it says, "So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?'" This man's a good man. He's reading from the scriptures. Matter of fact, he had some money because to be able to actually have a physical copy of the Old Testament would have cost a lot of money in those days. And notice what he says in verse 31. "And he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him." The place in the scripture we read was this: "He was led as a lamb or sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" He's wanting to know the answers to this question, to this reading that he's having. He's going, "I don't understand who he's talking about." "Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him." And then we find the result of, once again, a good and honest heart hears the truth and he obeys the gospel. When he sees the body of water, he says, "Well, here's water. Can I be baptized?" And Philip says, "Yes, if you believe, you may." So he takes him down and he baptizes him. But also turn with me to Psalm, the 122nd Psalm. A very powerful statement in this psalm in verse 1. And this should go into making us think, wanting to be here, ready to listen to the gospel. David wrote this psalm and it says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" This should be the highlight of our week. When we get together each time to assemble with our brothers and sisters in Christ, this should be the highlight of our week because we're all here for the same goal. We want to make it to heaven. We're not having all this worldly influences outside that we have to deal with on a daily basis. We come in here, we can worship God, we can open up His holy word. And the psalmist says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let's go into the house of the Lord.'" It should be a joy and a privilege that we have, especially in this country, where we don't have to worry about being murdered because we are trying to worship God faithfully. But turn with me, if you would, to James 1st chapter. James 1st chapter, verses 19 through 22. "Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." Now, how do we receive the implanted word? Do we just look at a Bible that's closed and it's going to just come to us magically? No. We have to listen to the word being taught or read it ourselves, right? So if we want to do those things as listeners that we should be ready and willing to hear. Now that doesn't mean we're just hearing the noise that my mouth might make to you. No, it's that we're listening closely. Not because it's from me, it's because we're trying to read from God's word. That's what's important. It's not the messenger, it's the message. We're trying to give glory to God. And that's what's important here. And then turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter the 3rd chapter in verse 15. You know, we have a grave responsibility when we're out in the world and people come up and ask us, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you living the way you live? And Peter says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, I know that the majority of our learning should be away from the building because we're not here every day, are we? So I understand that. Individual. That's why the elders encourage us to do daily Bible reading, right? But if we're going to be able to give a defense to people why we believe what we believe, we have to know what's in here, right? And we have to listen to the gospel being preached to be able to know, right? I know these are simple concepts, but yet sometimes I don't think we think through everything, you know, the magnitude of how important it is for us to just be listening. But another thing. Well, in Acts 16, chapter verses 19 through 34, once again, the idea of Paul's teaching about those things and listening, the people were listening to him being teaching God's word. So let's go to the next point. We must examine ourselves as listeners, right? It's not enough to just listen and say, well, okay, that sounds good. I mean, that's from God's word. But are we putting it into practice in our own lives? Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and verse 5. Second Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So how do we examine ourselves whether we're in the faith? What's our standard? This. This and this alone is our standard, God's word. Well, when we hear gospel preaching being done, it gives us a chance to examine our lives. Is my life in accordance with what I'm hearing in the pulpit from God's word? Does it coincide? If it doesn't, then I need to make changes in my life. But also turn with me to Galatians 6, chapter verses 1 through 5. When we think about helping each other as brethren, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You know, that's one of the ways Satan tries to work on us, isn't it? Somebody might have a failing in their life. And what does Satan want us to do? Well, I'm glad I don't do that, right? That's what he tries to get us to think, but that's not what we're to do. We're to consider ourselves, lest we also might be falling into some temptation. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For each one shall bear his own load. We know that we are all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to give an account of what we have done individually. And that's why it's so important to always examine our lives. Think about, am I doing those things that are going to be pleasing to God? And if I'm not, I need to make changes. When we partook of the Lord's Supper, it is instructed to us to examine ourselves. And in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter verses 23 through 28, there was a problem with the church at Corinth. They had made the Lord's Supper into a common meal. And Paul said that we need to examine ourselves. Why? So that when we eat of that bread and the fruit of the vine, that we're not making a mockery, basically, of our Lord's death. We have to be thinking seriously about what was done because of our sin. Now, think about when the gospel is being preached. Are we examining ourselves and thinking about what Jesus did for us? What God did for us? God made a plan to save us from our sins. Jesus became that perfect sacrifice so that we would have the hope of eternal life. Do we examine ourselves when we are here worshiping Him? Something we need to think about. But also turn with me to Psalms 1. This is a psalm that I think should be very comforting, very uplifting, because it tells us how we can be blessed by God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. God's word should always be on our mind. We should always be thinking about, okay, what does God tell me I need to do? How can I accomplish those things that God wants me to do? Now notice what the effect of meditating on God's word is. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Meditating on God's word. I'm sure you've heard this before, but how do agents for the Department of Treasury, how are they trained on knowing whether a dollar bill or $20 bill is counterfeit? Well, it's not showing you all the possible counterfeit options that they found over the years. No, they get to learn that money so well that when they see the counterfeit, they go, okay, I see it right there. That's not right. That shouldn't be there. When we know God's word the way we should, and somebody comes saying something that is different, we go, now wait a second, that's not what God's word says. When we meditate on the law, when we examine ourselves, constantly thinking about what can I do better to help in God's kingdom, that's why preaching and studying from God's word is so important. And then finally, we must exhort and encourage one another. Well, like I said, it is encouragement meant to me that you're here. It's an encouragement to me that you're paying attention. I see eyes looking at me. I see people turning to passages. I know that you're listening. And fortunately, I don't see anybody that I've put to sleep yet. So I'm glad of that. But it is so important that we build up one another. Life is tough. Satan will throw everything he has at us. And he'll use all kinds of different ways. Each of us have our own areas of weakness. And he knows them. And he's going to throw them at us. But when we are encouraging one another and building up one another in God's word, knowing that God will never tempt us above what we're able to. Hebrews 12 and 13. The Hebrew writer says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Verse 13. "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." We are to encourage and build up one another. When we see each other listening and being involved in the preaching, not just the preacher standing up here, but we all are engaged in it. We are encouraging one another. When we sing songs, what do? We admonish, we build up each other. We praise God. Same thing when the gospel is preached. If we're paying attention and we are going to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, as we close, in verse 11. Once again, talks about this idea of encouragement. And it's so important that we understand we need each other. We need to help each other. There are going to be times in everyone's life where we're going to be down, where there are going to be things happen to us that we don't understand, like Job did. He didn't understand why those things happen. But we have to have each other and the gospel to help us through. Now, this was talking, this particular context we're talking about in 1 Thessalonians was talking about the idea of the second coming of the Lord. And he talks about in verse 11, it says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. What are we looking for as Christians? We're looking for heaven. Our job here is to live our lives in such a way that we can be with God for all eternity. That should edify us. That should build us up, because we've got something really special to look forward to. And so as we think about the responsibilities regarding preaching, the preacher has a very important responsibility. He must preach the truth. If he doesn't preach the truth, then his preaching is vain. Listeners, we must be in attendance. We have to. It helps. And like I said, I understand that there are legitimate reasons why someone may not be here. But when we can, we need to be in attendance, because we not only help ourselves, we help our brethren. We build each other up. We must be ready to hear the word, not just to say, okay, that sounds good. No, we want to listen to it closely, examine ourselves whether we're in the faith, and then we encourage and exhort one another. Preaching of the gospel is for all of ours benefit. It's not just for the preacher. Preacher gets a lot out of it because of the study involved to put the lesson together, but I hope that you've gained something from being here this morning and opening up God's word with me, because we want to give God the glory, the respect, the honor, and the obedience that he deserves. We want to at this time offer the Lord's invitation for any who are subject to it. Jesus said, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God does not want anybody to be lost. Now, sadly, we understand from his word that there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to choose to be obedient. But it doesn't have to be that way. Each of us make our own choice on that. And if you have not become a child of God, we have the opportunity right now. You can come forward confessing your sins, confessing your faith in God, turning in repentance, and you can be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. If you've not done that, we'd ask you to do that this morning. Maybe you're a Christian and you need help with your life. Maybe you just need the prayers of the congregation. Maybe you've had a sin that you need to be help us to pray with you about. We would be glad to do that. The Lord's invitation is open for any who are subject to it. If you would, please come as we stand and sing.
Out of my bondage, sorrow and pride, Jesus I go, Jesus I go.